I'm not a scientist in any way, or a mathematician. I did an arts degree at the mighty University of Wollongong, and that's my background. When we come to this idea, hasn't science disproven God? I think lots of people believe this. It was number two on our survey, and lots of people think and believe and live this way. It's a done deal. It's a fairly clear assumption that we can make. Science has disproven God, and we have this kind of contrast, really, this common sense contrast that exists that between science and religion, or between science and belief in God. And so science is held up as being all about facts, whereas religion, belief in God, yeah, that's a myth. And even that interview that we saw, that was his belief. It's myth or fairy tales was his understanding. The contrast is there between science is the modern thinking. This is where we've come with our modern thinking. But ancient and primitive peoples, they needed to believe in God. And so there's another contrast there. Science is about rational proof. Rational proof, rational thinking. Whereas belief in God, you're going to need blind faith. And so that contrast is swimming around. It's sinking around there. Because of the way we have grown, matured over time, we've become more enlightened. Science has disproved God. And I just want to just pause for a little bit and just kind of crack that open a little bit. And just kind of consider, is it really a done deal? Is that really the assumption that we live by, that we think, that we believe? The most famous atheist in the world is a guy called Richard Dawkins, and he wrote a best-selling book called The God Delusion. It's worth reading if you get the chance to do so. I'm sure many people have read it. There's an interview with him, or a snippet of an interview, up on our Facebook page, and he doesn't believe this statement. So, most famous atheist doesn't believe that science has disproven God. In the little interview there, the interviewer sort of asks him about what he believes, that he's an atheist, and he says, I'm actually not an atheist. The words that he uses was, I can't be sure that God does not exist. And the interviewer says, you're a best-selling, world-famous atheist. He says, well, that's what people call me, but I'm actually agnostic. And this is the agnostic position. I can't be sure, I can't prove that God does not exist. I can't prove that negative. I can't use my scientific means to prove his non-existence. But what he wants to say, it probably doesn't exist. And you can read his argument in his book. There's a longer interview you can find. But if you want to see that little snippet, that's on our Facebook page. So I just want to just pause for a moment, just crack open the assumptions that we make, the things that we think about the fact science has disproven God. Lots of people live that way. Lots of people think that way. And this contrast kind of comes out in a, not just God, but comes out in religion as well. And we can take swipes at religion. There was a couple of years ago, there's one week in the year, when a very cool thing happened and a very terrible thing happened. The very cool thing was the greatest, highest skydive ever occurred from the edge of space. And they were sponsored by Red Bull. But in that same week, a young girl in Pakistan, an area that was run by the Taliban, was on her way to school, which had been banned. Girls weren't allowed to go. And she was shot by the Taliban. She survived. Her name is Malala. And this tweet was made by atheist and comedian Ricky Gervais. And he kind of personified science. And he wanted to take a swipe of things that had happened this week. Dear religion, this week I, science, safely dropped a man from the edge of space while you shot a child in the head for wanting to go to school, your science. And you can see that contrast. Here is this amazing, cool, technological breakthrough and advancement on the edge of space safely. Science was able to bring it. And then religion, at its very worst, did something terrible, something primitive, something barbaric. And that's the kind of air that we breathe. That's the world that we live in. But is science and religion, is science and belief in God really enemies? Is it really able to take swipes at each other? Or can they live in harmony? And I want to say yes. They're not enemies. Science hasn't disproved God. In fact, science not really It's not really equipped to disprove God. Not just on the burden of proof, which is the Richard Dawkins position, but that it's asking and answering a different set of questions. And it can't get very far when it comes to God. I mentioned I went to the University of Wollongong. When I was there, I did just one course as part of my arts degree on philosophy. And as part of this philosophy, we were working at morals and ethics. Seemed like a pretty good course to do. I went along, and we had kind of one rule when it came to this semester-long subject. Don't bring God into it. Okay. What we're intending to do is we're trying to examine in a thought experiment, how can you work out, one, whether you exist, two, whether you can make a claim on whether something is right or wrong. And it was an interesting experiment. And the tutor was quite fierce with this. He said, but as soon as you kind of bring God into it, that will be your answer. You'll just jump into it and you'll say, because God has said so, because God has shown us, because God has told us this. And you know, the subject's over. Let's try and build an experiment. Let's try and build a thought experiment. Let's do philosophy. Let's try and build a web of ideas where we can work out what we know, who we are, what is right, what is wrong. And it was helpful, and it was valuable, and it was a good thought experiment. I only did one philosophy class. It was pretty hard. But sometimes I think in our world, we kind of take this as the approach. The same things that you might, as a Christian, you might give the authority to God, we kind of give the authority to science. We live in a scientific, enlightened, technologically advanced world, and most of the conversations start like this. I mean, you might get to the end as you build up ideas, as you discuss, as you try and work out things, big questions like mystery, the mystery of God, the existence of God, because science. Because, I mean, all the weight and all the authority is given to science, and it actually can't handle it. Science can't disprove God because of the burden of proof, but also science is asking different questions. It can't actually explain everything. You can't explain everything without punching through science and scientific method and going to philosophy or going to theology or going somewhere else. Science in and of itself cannot explain everything. You can't just hold the position because science. It has its own specific set of knowledge. The scientific method is really naturalistic. It's really looking at causes. It's saying this is a closed box. This is causing this. For instance, you can't ask science, do miracles exist? That's outside its realm. It's naturalist. It's got cause and effect. You can't use science to say, well, we've proved the miracles can't exist. There's miracles in the Bible. There's no God. We've disproved God. Because if, as the Bible says, God is a creator and he made everything, he can move molecules around and he can do miracles. He can heal people. He can walk on water. He can create things. It's kind of gone outside of its scientific method to be able to say science can prove that there is no such thing as miracles. You go outside almost past philosophy to faith. And again, to say certain things about God. When science can only test for natural causes, can only ask those kinds of questions and answer those, that's the only one it can address. When it goes outside the natural and naturalistic, it moves into faith. And a lot of the discussion that's around science and scientific method is not scientific. It's faith-based. It's worldview. It's extending. And actually, if you read Richard Dawkins' book, he pushes past scientific and into some faith. He wouldn't admit that, though. Science hasn't disproven God. That's the first kind of point I want to make. It can't explain everything. It has its own specific set of knowledge. So when it comes to God, actually, science is doing something very different. Science is asking the how question. And when it comes to God and when it comes to the Bible, he's asking why. Now, here's what I mean. When it comes to the nature of existence, science can ask, you know, how did we get here? It's asking, how did we get here? And we can make conclusions based on the things that we can study. How did we get here? But in the Bible and with God, we actually are asking the question, why am I here? What is the purpose of my life? Why did God make me? And there's a bit of confusion, I think, because often when we ask science questions, we do use the word why, and we kind of answer as if we're doing a why question. So even just when we say, you know, It's really messy. Why is the sky blue? That sounds like a why question, doesn't it? A scientific why question. But actually, in the answer to it, we're actually working out, well, how does it become blue? How is it that the sky, when we look at it, is blue? It's actually a how. It's a what. It's not actually a why question. The conclusions are based on what we can study. But in the Bible, when it comes to God, we're asking why. What is the purpose behind it? They're doing two very different things, which is why they're not enemies. Which is why science and belief in God can be held in hand together. In fact, a number of early scientists began their scientific journey, their scientific discovery, because they had a belief in God. God as creator, God as designer, God as the person who gave laws into our universe. Hey, we can go and study how those laws work, how those causes occurred. And they began with their belief in God. They are not enemies, they go hand in hand together. One is asking how, the other is asking and answering why. I'll just explain a little bit about what I mean. My wife Amy made this cake. Let's say, theoretically. For the purposes of this. Now, why did she make this cake? Well, let's go. We can kind of examine it. We can work out, well, we can go kind of scientifically as a nutritionist with all our background and our skills. We can say, you know, it's full of healthy nutrition and eggs and some fruit. And, you know, we can examine a lot of that and say, well, you know, that's the reason. A biochemist could look at the structure of the proteins. A chemist look at the elements and the bonding. A physicist can look at the fundamental particles. And we can say we know a lot about this cake. But we can't say we know everything about this cake. We can't say, why was this cake made? We're actually going to have to go a little bit further and find the person who made it to get the why. So we ask Amy, why did you make this cake? Matt, it's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's not my birthday today either. But just for the point, the purposes of this illustration, science can answer many, many of our questions. Science is a wonderful, incredible gift. And yet, belief in God and science aren't enemies. They can work hand in hand together. They aren't in conflict because they're asking and answering separate things. If I can offer an alternative, if like the cake, to get to the real meaning of why, we have to go to the person who made it. We have to go to the person who designed it. If you come with me on this, when we ask the purpose of why am I here? Why was the world created? Then we've got to go and find the person who made the world. We've got to ask and look at the person who created it. And that's God. If you still have that Bible passage that we had read open from John chapter 1, that's kind of the picture that we get. And this is the alternative that I want to present before you. That God has actually created the world and he has made himself known through it. And we can find out the purpose of it. So John begins and he writes about the very, very beginning of the whole entire world. And he says this, this person called the Word was there. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He's talking about this Word who created all things. In fact, there was nothing that wasn't part of his creation. This Word he's talking about is Jesus. Jesus who was God and who was with God and who made everything. And so what the Bible is saying is that God has created the whole world from the very beginning, and then later, Jesus enters into that world. The Creator himself enters into that creation. And why? In verse 4 there it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So into this world, God has revealed himself. He has shown himself what he is like. We see God's heart and his mind and the purpose in the life of Jesus Christ. It says a bit later, the Word became flesh. What is the Word? We talked about words being kind of messy and mixed up, the why, the how. But Word is about the truth. Word is about communicating. Word is about revealing. And this is Jesus. He is the Word made flesh. He is God with skin on, and he comes into the world that he has made to share and to show people what God is like, who he is, what his purpose is. If you flip down to verse 12, just a few verses down, it actually says, to all who receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's his plan and his purpose. That even though we, many of us, ignore this creator and live as if he doesn't exist and have reasons like science for why we can explain away that there is no God, he says, no, I've stepped into creation in order to save you, in order to bring you into my family. Within that is a whole bunch of just great ideas and meanings that we are made in the image of God. He's our Father. So all people are in his image. And as his children, we then, you know, we can't be racist, and everyone is precious, and we are to care for each other and to love each other. And yet we know we've been given this free will. And last week we looked at this idea that the world that God has made is broken, there is evil, and there is suffering. And yet, when Jesus steps into his creation, he makes this promise. It won't always be like this. It won't always be broken. There's actually a better world. Yes, I created the world and it's gone bad, but it's not always going to be like this. I have come that you will be the children of God, that you will believe in me, and there actually will be a better world. It's called a new creation, heaven. You might have some questions about that, and A Christianity Explored is a great course to think through over 5 weeks. What do you mean by heaven? What do you mean? What did Jesus do when he came? And we'll look through those things. But I just want to wrap up by saying this. Even though many people live with the assumption that science has disproved God, it can't prove in that scientific method. And in fact, science is asking different questions. And God and the Bible is asking and answering different questions as well. One is the how or the what, the other is the why and the purpose. And I want to offer that alternative, that God created the world so he could step into it in order to save it. Why don't I pray to close, if that's okay, and then we'll take some questions. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your word in the way in which you've revealed yourself through the Bible. And we do thank you for the word, which is Jesus Christ, who came in. I thank you for his life, his teaching, his death, his resurrection, his miracles. And I ask, Father, that you would be with us as we continue to explore this, and shape us and change us to live out, knowing that, one, you loved us, and that all people are precious in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen.